One PowerPoint. You're bored to death of this PowerPoint. You have seen it for weeks now. This is all of my points, and I talk around this. So four A's, alignment, authority, arc, and assignment. We've been talking the last couple of weeks about assignment, but I want to back up just a little bit. It's like the Lord gives me thoughts during the week, and then I about these things, and we just keep reiterating them because all four points are still good. But since the beginning of the year, really for a longer than that, but we've been emphasizing this year, getting aligned with Him. And when you get aligned with Him, He gives you authority to walk with Him, authority to influence your world around you. The more aligned you are, the more the authority grows. Well, what is this authority about? It's to make you into an ark. There are several arks in the Bible. One of them is the Ark of the Covenant, which represents His presence, which represents His mercy. You are going to be used to bring His presence and His mercy to the world around you. There's also the Noah's Ark. That ark was a place of safety, and it was a place of resources. Some of this is review because we have different people come in at different times. God is giving you a place of safety no matter what is going on in the world, no matter how much chaos is going on in the world. He is making you and giving you a place of where His safety, it first starts in Him, and then He'll make it safe around you. As I said last week, for those that weren't here, last Saturday morning, I was just trying to be quiet. I was getting ready, getting going, but I didn't turn my normal BBC news on or Fox News radio 5 minutes thing, which I usually start off my day. So just be, you know, chill out and just walk with me. So I was just chilling out, getting dressed, and He gave me a word. For those of you that were here last week, it'll be a repeat. He said, "Craig, it has been a great year for you." Well, I was not expecting that word. And this is what I said to the Lord. I said, "Really? How spiritual is that?" And I was totally confused. And then He starts giving me a download in my spirit. You know, you had 20% of your part of the company that you're in, that you're an employee. They were laid off. Guess what? You were not laid off. And then your daughter Abigail graduated and got a job that she really loves in the midst of a depression. Oh, yeah, that's cool. And then He starts, I won't go into all of it, but He starts laying out all these great things that happened to me this year. Now, I spent 9 days in the hospital, basically died, okay? It's funny how our minds always focus on the negative and what's left to be done, which is okay. Well, it's not okay to be focused on the negative, but it's okay to focus on. But we forget what He's doing around us. There's something in us that's just, it's hard to step back, as Shane said, and be thankful for what's going on. But He said it's a great year, and He started downloading all this stuff, and I thought, wow, it has been a great year. And so He, in the midst of COVID, midst of chaos, midst of rioting, et cetera, it has been a great year as a place of safety. I was listening to Rick Joyner this week, and he had COVID. Rick Joyner's over Morningstar Ministries. He had COVID, and he said it was 3 days of the worst thing you can imagine. He said it was worse than the flu, and he named two other things all at the same time. But he said, in the middle of it, I had the greatest time with God that I've ever had. He, 17 days, I saw Him face to face. And I'm like, okay, I felt God around me, but I didn't see no face to face in the hospital. I was a little provoked there, but, you know, be satisfied with where God takes you. He said, 17 days, I went to the Father, and I saw Him face to face. And He gave me one word every day. He's slowly teaching through it. You can go to Morningstar Ministries and see it. But hear His words. I think last time I saw, He was like up to day 8. And they're just single words. That's what God does for me. So I was a little encouraged for that. You know, sometimes I'm provoked by people that they're face to face with God. They get these whole paragraphs. They get the plan for the whole future laid out. And I go to God and I get one word. That's just like, here you go up here, these one words. Like for September 21, He gives, you know, at Rosh Hashanah, He gives me one word for this coming year, assignment. I don't know why, but He does with me Proverbs 25:2. Last week I realized somebody told me, I said Psalms 25:2 last week. So if you were even paying attention last week, that was wrong. It's Proverbs 25:2. He says, okay, I'm just ad-libbing. It talks about, He gives words to us. I'm paraphrasing now. I haven't memorized. For some reason my brain just went blank. He gives us, he He gives us gold, but he hides it. And it's the heart, and it's the manner of a king. See, we're kings to go out and search for it. So that's what he does with me. You go, man, he just gives me a word. He wants you to go search it out. We've been talking about assignment the last two or three weeks. I got 7 or 8 points. We've been through a couple of them. So he gives me this word. Then I got to go, okay, how do we figure out what our assignments are? We may get over in that some today. I don't know. But so if you just get one word, he wants you to run after him and seek him for the details. He's a treasure hunter. He likes to hide stuff from you and then walk with you as you go find it. I'd personally just like the pot of gold to come in on a wagon. You know, oh yeah, that's awesome. He rarely does that. He goes, I've hidden something. I've hidden something for you. It's your prophetic word. It's a dream or vision. He's almost sort of, don't take this the wrong way, he's almost sort of like a kid that likes to hide stuff. And then he goes, you go look for it. Remember when your kid was little, they want to go hide and you got to go find them. And so he's the same way. He loves the journey with you. But he's making you into an ark that's a safe place, no matter if it's been COVID, chaos, or whatever it is, been in the hospital. He is going to be a safe place for you as we run into him. The Lord gave me this word this week. Let me just give a part of it about the ark. What he's this will be a familiar word for us, but he's really emphasizing it this year. It says in Genesis 6:17 about Noah's ark. So he's speaking to Noah's ark, and this is a word for us today. We're going to take a few minutes and just pray into it, and then we'll keep teaching. He said, I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. Okay, that's not the word, so you can relax. Verse 18, but I will establish my covenant with you, Noah, and you will enter the ark, my place of safety with resources, food, everything you need, water. You and your sons and your wife, he had three sons, and your sons' wives with you. The covenant is for you and your family. The carpet industry, if you're a history student or if just an observation, the carpet industry in America is a dual, in Dalton is a dual blessing. 93% of the carpet of the entire world comes out of this area. Northwest Georgia. I don't know if we have any carpet mills in East Tennessee, but you get the point. Atlanta up. Flooring too. I don't know what the percentage of that is, but carpet is 93% in the world. Isn't that incredible? It's a blessing. It's basically our major source of jobs, which is a plus and a con if carpet goes down. It'd be nice, but that's not the topic today, to be a little bit more diversified, but in Jesus' name. But it has devastated the family in this region. Shift work devastates families. We do it because we got to have a job. One spouse is working during the day, the other spouse is working the third shift. You don't see your kids. It's just hard. I moved here many, many years ago. My first job was in the carpet industry as a software programmer. After about a year, I was assigned over to the Riverbend plant, which used to be the samples plant. I don't know if it still is or not. That was a long time ago. But y'all know what I'm talking about, that big plant on Riverbend Road. I was in IT writing a samples program, so I had a little office there. And I knew it was bad, but my gosh, my eyes were really opened. Seeing people having sex in the back rooms, so many affairs. I mean, I'd worked for secular companies. I've never seen so many affairs as in this place. It's just, there's a spirit over this area, and the carpet industry, in my opinion, just doesn't go for solid families. One of the things he's going to restore in this region is whole families, because it has been devastated by our lifestyle, But God is creating an ark, a safe place, which is you, to help counsel, to help restore, to help set godly standards. We have had so many battles in this church, and it's any church, but this church, but we've actively gone after whole families for a long time. We want to see families whole. We want to see them all saved. We want to see them all radically saved. I'm telling you, today we're going to pray into this. We're going to believe that this covenant of salvation from the floodwaters and perishing, which is a metaphor for hell, it's a metaphor for everything that's not God, is not just for us. It's for our sons and our daughters and their spouses. If he can do that covenant, you know, he's saved. There was ended up all, well, three sons, three daughter-in-laws, Noah and his wife, so there's eight of them. Eight means new beginnings. That was not by accident. We're going to believe right now, we're going to pray for the next, you know, 90 seconds, 2 minutes, for all of our family, sons, daughters, whoever the Lord brings to your mind. Father, we're going to believe for that our covenant that you have with, see, it says it's a covenant with Noah. I will establish my covenant with you, Noah. He didn't have a covenant with his three sons. Didn't have a covenant with his wife. He had a covenant with Noah. He has a covenant with you, the New Testament covenant. When you become saved, you become part of that covenant, that contract. A covenant is an old word that we don't use anymore. It means contract. It means we both sign on the line. When you became Christian, you said, I'm going to give my life to God. And he says, I'm going to give my life to you. And he did on the cross. He signs on the line. Even if we break our part of the contract, his part of the contract, he never breaks. He always keeps his word. And that's what it means. New Testament contract versus the Old Testament contract. And so we're going to believe for our families. And we're going to believe that they're not just squeaking in, barely getting saved. I imagine most of you, maybe not all of you, most of you have one or two people, they need to get radically saved. They need to have an encounter that they go, oh my God, what is wrong with me? Why am I living this way? I need something totally beyond me. And they're just lit on fire. Now, if don't get offended by this. If you do, you can take it up with Jesus. Don't come to me. If you look in here, there's mostly women. We've known this for a long time. I don't know what it is about. A lot of you have males in your family that may be going to heaven, but they need to be lit on fire by the presence of God. I'm not talking about judgment. I'm not talking about hell. They need to have encounters with God that move them out of their apathy. Okay? If we're saved, but we're not radically following God, it is the sin of apathy. When I moved here 25 years ago, the Lord showed me four major territorial strongholds. We all have sin in our lives, but four major territorial strongholds that tend to affect everybody, and we call it normal. One of them's religion. One of them's poverty. Murray County's the poorest county in Georgia. Whitfield County at one time had the most millionaires. I don't think that's anywhere true anymore, not with the rise of technology in the Silicon Valley and the East Coast, but at one time. But great disparity, almost zero middle class. When you look at percentage of middle class, it's very, very low. You have to have a high middle, you need blue collar, but you also need a high middle class because that's what affects the prosperity of a region. You follow what I'm saying? But anyway, so religion, poverty, lust, which goes to a lot of different things, and then apathy. So we're gonna pray, but I'm specifically going to pray, and I can pray this. Why? Because I'm a male. So I can pray for fellow males to get lit, not drunk, not wasted, not high, but they get lit. That they have encounters with the Father, they're going, I cannot live any other way. And if you're connected to them, just under your breath, Just call out their name. Why? Because you have a covenant with God, and we're going to apply that covenant to them. I don't know when it's going to happen, but we're going to keep praying for it. Why? Because He wants to restore families, not just to keep from getting divorced, not just to keep from sleeping with other people, but He wants families whole, worshiping Him, because He has assignments for the entire family that there's going to be done. It is not by accident that the whole immediate Cooper family, three boys under DeWitt and Darlene Cooper, came to Dalton, Georgia. Who comes to Dalton, Georgia? It is not high on the tourist list. It is not high on the job list, because it's not depending on your training. It can be, I guess, you know, if you need a good steady job. But let's be frank, the shift work's hard work. I mean, you get paid pretty good, but it's still hard work. And so there's not a lot of middle class. But somehow or another, me and my two brothers, my parents, five of us, and all the people that somehow or another showed up in my house. I don't know how I got four kids, but they just showed up. It's supposed to be a joke. But anyway, they showed up all since I got here. Is because He brought a family here, because we're by no means perfect, brought a family here to help bring families together. Is that the way to put it? And some of you are here for the same reason. This isn't even counting my cousin, who's family, and then her, I can't think of numbers when I'm preaching. Her brother and sister that came, and my aunt, everybody was like, why are we in Dalton? Because He wants our families to be redeemed and redeem the families around us. Because it's important. He's not just going to save you. He's going to do like Noah here and save your entire family. And we're going to believe for it. We're not, you know, there may be that one you go, but we're going to believe for Him. I mean, let's just stand and pray. And then we'll move on here. Because this is going to be a constant, reoccurring theme. We want our families lit. We're going to retake that word. You know, I'm sort of mad at the devil. He keeps taking good words. It's like New Age. New Age is a biblical word, but you can't say New Age. Well, you're over into crystals, and you're over into rainbows and unicorns and whatever else we're doing. No, there's a New Age coming. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He's head, and He's bringing in a kingdom. You can call that New Age, but that's just old witchcraft, satanic, Baal-worshipping, selfish, humanistic age. We've got a New Age. Not an old age that you're calling a New Age. Oh, I better not go there. I better not. Let's just stay. There's so many words He's robbed. But He's not going to rob. But He's restoring families. Amen? So, Father, in Jesus' name, we come. And you just apply one, two. I wouldn't do 10. Start with one or two people and just work down. We're going to see the covenant He's given to us. Not that we've got it perfect, but just like Noah, extend to these things. Because I'm looking forward not just to men being here. I'm looking forward not just women. Some of these are women that need to be restored. Some of them are kids to be restored. Because this is God's plan. It's whole restoration all the way around. Am I speaking the truth? So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just come to You and we thank You. It is by Your mercy and by Your grace that we are extended into covenant with You and we're in the ark. And we right now, we just say, we just do a simple prayer, but we say thank You that You are bringing whoever is coming to our mind now, you can just say them under your breath, You are bringing them into the ark with You, with us. They are not going to perish. And You're going to do this not just by the just barely making it in, but You're setting them on fire. You're showing them the spiritual DNA that's inside of them. You're showing them their destiny. You're showing them their identity. However You want to do it. But Holy Spirit, thank You for the covenant, the contract we have with You. And thank You that You're extending it to family. And instead of this used to be the divorce capital of the world, I have no idea if it is anymore. Probably not. I doubt it. But You're restoring it, that this is going to be the family capital. This is going to be wholeness. This is going to be a place where families are restored. And we believe for our entire family. We believe for this person, ABC, John, Susie, whatever their name is, that they're not just saved, but they are radically saved and have an encounter with you. In Jesus' name, amen. And just pray that however the Lord leads you, and pray it regularly. And because of the contract that we have with us, or with Him. Amen. Let me just speak a little bit about alignment. I know I keep going back and forth, but that's okay. Genesis 1, verse 1 says this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day. It has been a tough year, even though it's been a great year. We're not going to deny that. There's been a lot of chaos. Do you realize you have to have chaos to get alignment? And our country's still in chaos, and it's a God thing. Not the chaos per se, but you have to have chaos to get alignment, because in chaos, you have to see what needs to be separated and pulled apart. A lot of the chaos we've been going through, tough times, sufferings, it's not that God revels in that, but before He can create something new and bring light in, He has to pull apart and identify the darkness. And so that's why it's so important. Do you realize there's 6 days of creation. He rested on the seventh. The first 3 days, it was the Holy Spirit separating. I'm not going to go into all of that, but He separated light from dark. He just did all, separated the oceans from the land. He separated. We have been in a time of separation. Why? So that He can recreate and bring in the new. We often go, well, things are breaking down. That's good, if it's a God thing. We see things breaking down as a bad thing, but He has to break down before He can build up. And we have to see with spiritual eyes. Yes, there are physical things going on, but there's spiritual things going on. Let me jump to something that I wrote down this week that I think I'm probably going to go over. It's like right now we've got the whole elections thing, which is just chaos. It doesn't matter who you're for. But wherever you go, people go, are you for Biden or are you for Trump? There is a bigger question than that. It's chaos right now. A lot of it is to awaken the church to see the bigger spiritual principles behind things and not just judge everything by what's going on in the physical. Let me read to you Joshua 5:13. This is Joshua. He inherited the mantle from Moses. He's to take these Israelites, millions of them, into the promised land. And it says in Joshua 5:13, he's about to do his first battle. He crossed over the promised land. See, there's battles. He doesn't just hand it to you. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, Jericho was the first of 39 battles he was going to have to do. Isn't that interesting? There's 39 stripes that Jesus was whipped with. He was whipped 39 times. There's a lot of parallels in the Bible. He has thought so far ahead of us that we are just having a hard time keeping up. Listen, whatever happens in America, whatever happens in the chaos in your life, whatever happens in the finances or the relationships that you're bringing forward, He already sees the end. And He's already been at the end. See, there is no time in heaven. We think of time because we were created in time. We think of time as linear, straight line. The future hasn't happened yet. We're going to get there. That's true for us, but He's already been there. He already knows how your chaos is going to pan out. That's why we need to keep believing for our family or whatever the chaos and believe, okay, this thing is going to get ordered. He had to separate the first 3 days before He could order day 4, 5, and 6. We are right now somewhere at the end of day 3. And He is tearing and breaking up. Have faith, it's going to get ordered. Don't judge everything by the chaos that it looked like on day 3. So here's Joshua 5:13. Are you all listening to me? You're hearing by the Spirit here? Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. That's a scary thing. Joshua went up to him, he didn't know who he was, and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies? Are you for Biden or are you for Trump? Are you for this, if there's a relationship battle in your household, we've all had this. If you're in a strained marriage, are you for my wife or are you for me? Are you in a strained relationship with your child? Are you on their side or on my side?" We've all been there, haven't we? May still be there. The guy replies, "Neither. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." He then realized, then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for this servant?" He was saying, "Neither. I'm not on Jericho's side, and I'm not on your side. The question is, what side are you on?" This is where we as the church have got to make, and we are, make a shift. We don't go, "Are you on my side? You on my wife's side? You on Biden's side? You on Trump's side?" We need to say, "What side is God on?" and figure it out, spiritually discern it. And you know, a lot of times it's a combination of both. And walk by spiritual discernment. The church in America, one thing I've learned this year, we have almost no, and I'm not exaggerating, spiritual discernment. We discern everything in our families. We discern everything in our country by way it looks in the natural. And we need to look there because we're going to influence it, but we need to start from a whole nother perspective. Turn over to 2 Chronicles 7:13. Y'all awake? Turn to the person on the left, say, "It's time to wake up. You need to discern the times, baby. And this isn't a time to sleep." Nobody's actually sleeping in here. But we do need, as Christians, to discern the times by the Spirit. You know why we have no spiritual discernment in the church in America? Because approximately 20 years ago, we decided to go seeker-friendly instead of moving into the prophetic movement that was gaining momentum in the 80s and the 90s, and we dismissed the Holy Spirit and prophets. The church, the charismatic, Spirit-filled church, was much stronger in the 80s and 90s as a whole than it is now. I was a part of the largest association of charismatic, Spirit-filled churches in for 14, 15 years. They openly said in the 2000s, if you want your church to grow, move to the seeker-friendly model. Now, I don't have a problem with the seeker-friendly model, but we did lose the prophetic edge. Most of those churches in that movement went to the seeker-friendly model, and we banned talking about the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, prophets, prophetic movements, put it off to the side. As a result, we had no eyes. There's five gifts, Ephesians 4:11, 12, 13, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists. You can keep that verse up. Eventually, I'll get back to this. evangelists and teachers. They each have a calling. The prophet is the eyes. We lost our eyes. And we had to start judging in the natural because we were embarrassed by Holy Spirit. When I say I got out of that movement, went to another movement. But in Dalton, we have a prophetic roundtable of churches. We were five. We just picked up two, praise God, hallelujah. One in Cleveland, another one here. But man, has it been hard. There's probably, I was doing the count of the numbers, if you add up all our church members and the other ones, we're less than 1% of the population of Whitfield County. It's cool. It's better than the 0.25% of 1% that was 25 years ago. But we've lost our vision. We've got to have the prophetic and the prophets to see. And so that's why we emphasize it so much. Amen? But 2 Chronicles 7:13, getting back. We're going to talk about our country a little bit here and how we need to have spiritual insight. Are you all right? I wasn't planning on talking about any of this, but I'm enjoying talking about it. I'm having fun. I hope you are. Hit somebody with your elbow on the left. Say, pretend like you're having fun. Make Craig feel good. 2 Chronicles 7:13. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague upon my people. We have a plague in this country. All you got to do is look at not literal plague, but we have a plague. We're the laughingstock of the world. We have the worst family situations of any developed nation in the world. Now, there's some undeveloped nations that are in war that are worse. Okay? Our families are messed up. It's a plague. But that's why we're here. That's why we prayed today. We're going to start our little group. Pray for whole families in this group. And as the Lord gives us authority, start influencing those around us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Now listen to this. It's a common verse. And will heal their what? It didn't even say people. Obviously, people live on the land. I don't care if Biden gets in. I don't care if Trump gets reelected. I mean, we all have a caring, okay? But if we go back, listen to me, by the Spirit of the Lord, if we go back to the way we were as a church, with no prophetic vision, with no hunger for God, not seeking His righteousness, those two guys, no matter whichever one you want, they cannot solve the problems of this land. They cannot solve the problems of the family. They cannot solve the opioid crisis. They cannot solve all the myriad problems we have. There is only one solution to healing your land. And that's when the church, it doesn't even say how many people. It says my people. I don't even know what that percentage is. If my people will pray and seek my what? Not get excited about going to church and getting pumped up and then leaving with a great performance. But will seek, that's why we spend so much time pausing at the end. I want us all to seek His face, to be a pattern during the week. The only solution to our land being healed is a spiritual solution first that then manifests in the physical, which is part of our assignments. Once we're in His presence, then things rub. We are carriers of His presence, carriers of His ideas, carriers of His wisdom, carriers of His peace, carriers of His rest, and then it starts healing the land. We need a major awakening in this country to solve the problems. Listen, I have an opinion who I want to be president. And you know what? It really doesn't matter a whole lot in the whole scheme of things. We need a major awakening. Typically there's three R's. A renewal, a revival, an awakening. Renewal, revival. Can't even think of the last one. My brain's. But reformation. Renewal, revival, reformation, which is the same as awakening. What does renewal mean? We haven't had renewal in the church yet. Why do you think God hasn't brought revival yet? A renewal is where the Christians that are already saved get a passion for God. Now, we're going after it here the best way we know how. But I want every church in Whitfield County to be lit. We need a t-shirt that says something about lit. We need to redefine that word. I want everybody renewed. One reason he's hold off on revival is because if there's revival means unbelievers get saved. That's how I define the word. I know most churches around here have revival week, and they sort of mean the same thing. Rededication, probably the same thing. One reason he's held off on a major revival is because he doesn't want those that revived to hang around those that haven't been renewed yet. Because we're going to become who we hang around. Right now, what's going on in America with first COVID, then depression in our economics, and then chaos in their streets, which we're probably going to see a lot more of it, no matter who gets elected, the other side's just going to be chaos. But we're going to walk in rest. He's trying to awaken us, when I say us, generically, discern spiritually, pray from heaven to earth, and pray for healing in the land and be revived. Amen? And he's doing that. I'm just talking to you basically out of a prophetic voice today. And he's doing that. That's the big picture. And he does, and I speak about it a lot, he is going to bring reformation. I often call it awakening. Reformation is the third R. This is it. So you can be saved, and everybody can be saved, but your culture is not changed. Reformation is where the culture has, everybody's been saved, or a huge percentage, it doesn't take that much, 7, 8, 9%, is radically resaved. It will cause a reformation, which means the culture is changed. We've had two major reformations, they often call them awakenings, in the first 150 years of our country, where they closed down the prisons, they closed down the bars, they closed a lot of people out of work in that industry because people were so changed, they didn't need the prisons anymore. They didn't need the bars anymore. That's going to happen in America if we keep praying for healing of our land. And right now, he cares about the elections. He's going to raise up rulers, he's going to take down rulers. He cares about unbelievers. But what he's doing right now in Whitfield County and the churches is finding out what part of my church is going to listen to my voice and not just go to church. You can go to church and never hear his voice. Revelation 3:20, I'm paraphrasing. I stand, this is to Christians, at the beginning of Revelation, it says to the seven churches that are in Asia Minor. It says, I stand at the door of my church and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens, I shall come in and have dinner with him. That's cool. Wonder what he likes to eat. Wonder if he was bringing dinner with him. That's even better. You know I'm joking. Now listen to that. That was to the church. I never want to be in a church service and he's knocking and going, let me in. I never want to be an individual and he's knocking and going, can you hear me? They closed the door, but they still were Christians. What he's doing in America now is trying to awaken us up and go, someone is at the door. If you notice, he didn't say, if you hear my knocking, let me in. He said, if you hear my voice, let me in. This is intense, isn't it? And I hate to be so intense on a Sunday morning, but I know we're running after it. We're going passionate after it. And where I'm at, unfortunately, you have to follow along with me if you come here. I'm not one of these guys that Well, actually, I do plan sermons like 3 months in advance. I've got like 8 sermons already queued up, but I wasn't even planning on talking about this today. And so, but it's cool. God's Holy Spirit's in it. And so wherever He goes, I just go. That's just how I am. But let's just stand. We're going to pray first over the church that they hear His voice today. See, you can hear, I was talking to a pastor today. If I step on some, I don't know, should I go there today? Oh, gosh. All right, no, we're just, whatever. There are pastors, I will say this, there are pastors in this region that are afraid to preach like me. They're afraid to preach the Word of God because they're afraid of half of their platform walking out their door, out the door. I mean, I know this for a fact. The church that are under those types of influences will never mature till they leave. Now, I don't ever tell anybody to leave. Let me say it this way. Until there's boldness in the pulpit, the church has a very, very hard time being bold. I'm reading Robert Laird and wrote 6 books called The Generals. I'm on the one called Reformers. I was reading last night about John Knox. He was the reformer in Scotland. My God, when I read that, I was reading that last night, I started repenting. I'm like, I am such a wimp. I am so just, this dude, I mean, the things he did to Queen Mary of Scotland, you can go buy the book and read the chapter on John Knox. This dude was lit. That's all I can say. He'd go to her and say, I submit to you as the queen, but in these areas, I disagree with you. She was staunch Catholic. And he says, you will not do this in the country God's assigned me to. And it was war. She was married a French prince. She sent the French army in to deal with Knox. Knox calls up Queen Elizabeth I of England, that was a Protestant, convinces her to send an army to fight the French army. And they went into civil war. That's being passionate for the things of God. That is opposite this apathetic spirit where I'm just going to sit back and if God's in control, He'll do it. You know, it says that He has given the earth, the heavens belong to the Lord, but He has given the earth to man. Now, you know, each situation is different. But we're going to pray for the church in Whitfield, Murray, whatever county you're in, I don't care, Northwest Georgia, for the spirit of apathy, starting with the pastors that are scared of losing their platform. Well, that means it's your platform. I'm just trying to be nice today. All right. Because I'm preaching to the choir here, okay? We're not preaching to Queen Mary. Do y'all feel that, though? He is raising up an army. What does an army mean? We sit back on the French Riviera in our uniforms and take our shoes off and dangle them in the water. See, we can't move over into assignment until we've seen His eyes. Until we've been face to face with Him and seen Him and see how much He cares for this earth. And we don't fight flesh and blood with flesh and blood. We fight by the Spirit, but there are flesh and blood things. But I'm telling you, before revival can come, this is what's going to happen. He's calling to the church now. Large swaths of it will say no. They will. But those that say yes, He's going to keep moving on. Was that biblical? Yeah. Martin Luther in 1517, the first what we call Reformation. Large swaths of people never moved from the blasphemous Catholic Church. That's a problem in this area. Gosh, I just need to be nice. Let's just move on. The Lord told me several weeks ago, He said, the only platform you need to build, Craig, is one for me. Not one with RC's name on it, not with your name on it. That's such a fine line. Because I got a website called Craig B. Cooper that's got all my writings on it. We've got a website for Relationship Church, and some of that's legit. You got to have just basic. But he is building a platform in this region for him where no man can get the glory and where we don't want his glory. When you do something for your own platform, you have just stolen glory from Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I've been in prayer where he has shown me where I've stolen his glory. Let me tell you, that is not fun. You go, it's fun being a senior leader. Not when you get your flesh ripped off. He showed me, he goes, you just took my own glory. And he says, you know what? That glory can't ever come back. You've stolen it, this part of it. You know, deal with it because you ain't going to get it in heaven. Just don't do it again. When we care about our platform, we want glory for ourselves. And wherever we take glory for ourselves, now I know I'm preaching to the choir. All right, we're going to agree in prayer. This little group of people is enough to start changing this region. Because I want to see it lit. Amen. That's my new word for the day. I didn't plan on doing it before we got in here, but I like that word. You can go out and say, man, we got lit at church. Or at least we're praying for lit. And they're starting a new age over there. Do you want to say something? That's sort of how my whole morning's been, but it's good. Get used to being different, your shirt says.
Well, we talk about eyes.
You can be sitting down if you're tired. We were going to pray. We'll do it in a minute.
I don't know.
Okay, maybe not.
Stand up. When Craig first read that 2 Chronicles, what is it?
7:14.
When he first said, okay, let me get this back, about the healing of the land, I heard an amen from the back coming in the door, and to my right came in, and I thought, well, is that Jesus? This is the picture. A person came in, and I thought at first, well, is that Jesus? And it's like, no, this is not Jesus. But he was robed in a white robe, mid-calf, with a gold belt around his waist, knotted, and he went over and stood. And so I've been saying, who is that? And I feel the Lord said, that's the angel that Joshua saw that says,
wow.
I'm not on either side.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you want to do with that, but he's been standing on your right.
Wow.
As you've been up here.
Wow.
Do something.
Well, let's pray. We're going to pray that this land, I don't presume to know really what, I mean, we know a little bit what side he's on, but we don't
presume.
But we don't presume of
amen.
Amen. But we're going to stand on the side of the Lord. And we say, we're going to pray over this region, for this region to be a platform for Jesus. And whatever side he is on, that's the side we want to be on. Because I'll be honest, I know not every side I'm on is perfectly right. Because we're humans. As soon as he tells me to change it, we'll change it. But until then, we're going after him. Amen? Would you agree with that? So, Father, in Jesus' name, you have assigned us to this region. The reason I say region is because I know some of us are from different counties. It includes more than just Whitfield County. I know some of you from Gordon, some of you from Murray, and wherever else. And Catoosa, Shane's from Catoosa. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you according to 1 Chronicles 7:14, and we cry out and we say, we want to be on your side. And we say, we humble ourselves to be on your side. We don't presume everything we see is right, but we want to see right. We don't presume that our way is right, but we want to be your way. We don't presume to, we just say this, we humble ourselves and we say, heal this land. Heal this land, heal the family crises, heal the addictions, heal the depression, heal the joblessness. That includes it all because all of it's on the land. The buildings are on the land. The families are on the land. We walk on the land. We drive on the land. And we say, heal this land. And we say, make it a platform for Jesus. Everything, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I just speak to the church today, include myself. I don't presume to be anywhere close to having it all figured out. I speak to the church, the whole church, not just this church. And we say, show us where we have the door closed. Show us where we have closed the door to your voice. And we say now, all we can do is pray for ourselves and then pray generically for the whole church. Show us where the door is closed and we open it. And we say, Jesus, we want to hear your voice. We hear your voice because you're speaking now. It's not a matter of will you speak, you're speaking. We open the door, where we've closed the door and say, I don't want to listen anymore, we repent. And we say, we open the door and let you come in. And we speak over this region, Father, that for decades has said certain parts of the Holy Spirit's voice we will not listen to. We generically, through identification or repentance, and say we repent. And we say, speak to us again where we have hardened our hearts in certain areas. And let your voice ring out over this region. And Holy Spirit, we declare that these four territorial spirits that I mentioned, we declare you are the spirit over this area. You're over every territorial spirit. You're over our homes. And we just thank you that we have the privilege here. We've been on assignment today to pray for this region. And we look forward to renewal, revival, and reformation in Jesus' name. Did you have something? Yeah.
Just real quick, and I'll make it a real short story, and I think this ties in, I pray it does, you talk about being lit, and I think there's just, we can talk for weeks about that, and you also talked some this morning about, you know, getting more of him and that passion for him, et cetera. I heard a really, really cool family story that... this last week grandparents and their granddaughter, I think she's six, spending time with her. And they knew that she loves fairies. I mean, she's just really into fairies and just, you know, the imagination of it all and et cetera. And so what they did is, and I'm not a hunter, but evidently you get little markers you put through the woods. And with the light, you could see the reflection through the woods, you know, if you're going in the morning trying to get to the deer stand. Anyway, they put those markers. They had told her they were going to go fairy exploring when it got dark. And they had put these markers all through the woods, made a little trail and et cetera. And then they also, ahead of time, they had made a little fairy camp, a real box. They decorated, had the little fairies in a box, et cetera. And that was the treasure, you know, when you're going to find that. And so, of course, you can imagine that little girl, just excitement all day long, you know, waiting for it to get to dark to do the fairy hunting. And they went through the woods, made a big deal out of going finding the next marker, and they called that pixie dust. So they were finding the pixie dust throughout the woods. And then they come back, and then another person is standing, when they're coming back out of the woods, is standing over and lights a sparkler over the camp, the fairy box, the camp that was there. And that was the pixie dust, you know, marking the camp. And so the little girl goes, you know, running over there, finding it, and just, you know, et cetera. I bet her feet never touched the ground the rest of the night. I bet they never got her to bed that night. But what you talked about being lit, that's the spirit. Can you imagine the spirit in that little girl and the excitement and the joy and the life and just the wonder of the world that was lit in that little girl? Mm. That's what I want to see lit in our families, in our relationships, in our church, in our passion for him.
Man, that's good. Anybody else? Do we need to do or mention anything else about the angel? Yeah, that's pretty cool. Same angel that was there at Joshua. And so whenever you see a situation, family, nation, obviously, we see what's going on that. But say, Father, Holy Spirit, what's happening in the spirit behind it? A lot of times he'll tell you. Y'all be blessed. Have a great week. Been a good service, good time, good download. worship.